Hello, everyone. My name is Taylor.
And I'm Kelly.
And we are the co-hosts of Jumping Bomb Audio, the number one show all about the world of Joshi Pro Wrestling. Every other Monday, we're coming at you with news, show reviews, and previews of upcoming Joshi action.
So whether you're just getting into the scene or you've seen it all, this is the show for you.
Check us out on the Voices of Wrestling podcast network and wherever you get your audio.
Hello, Voices of Wrestling listener. Dave Ryan here. Have you ever wondered to yourself, how many hidden gems are hidden away inside the last years of World Championship Wrestling? Have you ever asked yourself how many tenuous gags can be made about the name Mike Enos? And have you ever thought about what it sounds like for two Irishmen to interpret a very chaotic company through its B-show? The answers to all this and more are just a click away. Check out Days of Thunder every second Thursday on the Voices of Wrestling podcast network.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Emoji moment from Sadie, who writes, I'm not crying, you're crying. This is what I said during my first appointment with my physician at Mochi, because I didn't have to convince him I needed a GLP-1. He understood, and I felt supported, not judged. I came for the weight loss and stayed for the empathy. Thanks, Sadie. I'm Myra Ameth, founder of Mochi Health. To find your Mochi moment, visit joinmochi.com.
Sadie is a Mochi member compensated for her story.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling podcasting network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Welcome to Jumping Bomb Audio.
Welcome back to Jumping Bomb Audio, the number one show all about the world of Joshi Pro Wrestling. My name is Taylor, and I am joined, as always, by my very good friend and co-host, Kelly. Kelly, how's it going?
It's going good. I had the thought just now that at some point we should swap the intro, and I do it, but I say I'm Taylor. And then I throw it to you, and you say you're Kelly, and we just really confuse everyone.
Well, now you've sort of given up the...
Well, no, we'll do it so long ago they won't remember. Or so long from now.
So we have to keep doing this podcast for another 5 years.
Yeah.
And do it in 5 years' time.
Yeah, September 14th, 2030. Mark it in your calendar.
Sure. I'm really thinking about myself in 5 years still doing this podcast. An elderly man.
Yep.
Doing a Joshi podcast. But anyway, we're not 5 years in the future. We're in 2025, and there's lots of Joshi going on and lots of Joshi to talk about. But before we talk about all that Joshi, we got to talk about the plugs. That's right. Follow us on Blue Sky at J-Bomb Audio. One day, Will, what are Blue Sky messages called?
Skeets.
Skeets. One day, Will,
Skeet.
Over there. We'll do something, and you'll want to be following us when that happens. Or you can follow Comic Geek Kelly. That's Kelly. Or
hello.
Me at Tame Aimbow. Kelly does tweet, so.
Well, not tweet. I skeet.
Or skeet. Whatever.
Yeah, I don't tweet anymore.
Yeah, no tweeting, just skeeting. Subscribe to us on your podcast app of choice. And if that app of choice is Apple Podcasts, we would really appreciate a 5-star rating and review. And it's if you're feeling extra generous, you can donate to the show at redcircle.com/show/jumping-bomb-audio. So that's all the plugs. Let's head into the Joshi, the biggest Joshi show of the last 2 weeks. Of course, Stardom's September 6th show, Stardom to the World. Some big title matches on this. Kelly, what did you think of the big matches of Stardom to the World?
I thought the big matches were pretty good. It was, it felt like when Stardom was running too many shows, you know, and they were just like, what if we had a pay-per-view every 3 weeks? And it's like, but half of the card you won't give a shit about, and then the top card you'll like. That's kind of what it felt like to me.
Well, Kelly, you took the exact words out of my mouth, because I was watching this show going, this feels like a Stardom show from years ago,
mm-hmm.
when it was like, well, we've booked the show, we got to do something, what should we do? Some good matches, but on my end, largely left thinking, in 2 months I will not remember anything about this show.
No, I don't think so.
So let's talk about the big matches. I guess this is a big match, and we'll start with it. And frankly, I've got a lot to say about this match, so we're going to talk about it. Is a special singles match, Natsuka Tora defeating Mayumi Ozaki in 12 minutes and 43 seconds. How much did they pay Ozaki to look at the lights here?
I really thought she was going to win. I thought she was just going to valiantly fight off all of hate and pick up the win, and I would have loved that so much.
To me, this match was so strange.
Yes.
Maybe strange is not the right word, but to me, okay, we're booking that Tora's going to win. Okay, that's the final result we have to go towards. I would think you would book, then what you would have to do is be like, ah, Ozaki is crafty, but Tora is even craftier. That's mm-hmm. how she wins, you know. She outheals Ozaki, but not in the way of like, oh, five people are coming in the ring and cheating. Also, very weird. Why did none of Ozaki's people show up?
Yeah, where was police? I was calling police the entire time I was watching this match.
I'm like, it doesn't make any, like, what is the kayfabe reason that Ozaki shows up with no one in tow?
I fully expected, like, Ciari to come out or something.
But my biggest issue is they just did the Ozaki format, which is Ozaki beats up a plucky underdog babyface. Except the difference is, like, the Mio matches. That's what those matches were. It was Ozaki you know, beating on Mio, a plucky underdog. The difference is there was no blood here. I mean,
yeah,
Ozaki got like sort of busted. Blood. Got sort of busted a little bit, but
did she?
Not like bloody, but there was a cut to her face late in the match, and I was like, oh, you've gotten some, you know.
Oh, I didn't even notice that. I thought it was just like mist that was left over or something.
You got some like press marks on your head. And the other thing is, if you're gonna do the plucky baby face, you should be wrestling someone who has the charisma to like do that.
Yeah.
It was essentially Ozaki wrestling a broom with Hate showing up every 3 minutes.
A broom like, that has friends.
I'm like, who's the dastardly heel here? Oh, it's Momo Watanabe.
Yeah.
Like coming in and using the bat. I'm like, Tora didn't really do much of anything. Like, this could have been anyone. In Hate.
Like, I was just thinking about how awesome it would be to have Ozaki versus Starlight Kid.
Yeah.
Like, that match would be incredible.
It just, I'm sort of like, what? It all, I mean, it also was the thing of like, you know, like, I think the goal was to be like, Tora is on the same footing as Ozaki. I'm like, no, Ozaki feels 10 million times bigger than Tora.
Yeah.
In this match. It's like, this is what is being imitated.
This is what, you know, she wants to be, but she's very bad at it.
She's wandering around with the, you know, Ozaki with the chain. All these things. Which, by the way, I also never understand that thing of like, I don't approve of using this chain. You know, Daichi's like, I won't count the pin if you've used the chain. I'm like, so is the chain illegal? Is people running up? Also, I've really become fascinated by Hate. I almost said Oedo Tai. Hate's main distractionary tactic seems to be standing on the apron and having a long discussion.
Yeah, occasionally they throw a hug in there too.
But I'm like, what could possibly be going on in that conversation that you're like, I can't focus on anything? Like, hey, what's going on with this? Any sane human being who's like, my job is to be a referee would say, hey, buzz off. I have to focus on this match right now. Like, get off the apron.
We'll discuss foreign policy later.
They're just so long conversations. I'm like, what could possibly distract a human being who has a job? It's not like, you know, they're like, I don't really know what a referee does. It's like, you are a referee. You know you have to be looking at what's happening in the ring.
Like, Daichi, when you watch the Stuart Little movies, do you choose to watch them with sub or dub?
I know this is like a general wrestling argument, but it seems worse when it's just standing around and talking is the distraction.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to like, oh, something's happening over here. Like,
and it happens for so long and so often.
Yeah. So, a match I did not really enjoy.
No, I thought Ozaki did her best, but like, yeah, you're just fighting a broom with friends and then losing to the broom.
I mean, but also like Ozaki, like part of those matches is the blood sort of is a distraction of like, okay, these are not the greatest worked matches.
Yeah.
You know, but they're blood and you, it's a lot about the intangibles. And then when you sort of do the match with no intangibles in it, it's like, well, okay.
Like, you could have even, you have Ozaki win here and then challenge Saya for a title match. Like, that would be cool.
I mean, maybe they'll do Ozaki and Police versus Tora and Momo Watanabe.
That sounds awesome. Let's do that.
I'm also like, you know, Momo wins the 5-star and here she is, like, doinking around.
Yeah.
Like I'm the 1B of this group, you know, helping out my boss.
Okay. Who inexplicably is still Tora somehow.
And also the person who in your last big match was like, I don't want any interference. I want to win clean.
Yeah.
And then is like, oh, but I'll do it for everyone else. Oh, well. Anyway, that was the last match before intermission. We came back from intermission to the IWGP Women's title match, Seri defeating Suzu Suzuki in 22 minutes and 33 seconds. They hit each other very hard in this match.
They really did.
Enjoyed it again. This was sort of the beginning of my feeling of didn't think Suzu had any chance to win.
No.
At all. Which is sort of the feeling of those old Stardom shows where it's like, well, these matches are good. I don't believe the title's going to change in any world. So it puts a cap on, but I probably would go like 4.25 stars. I still thought it was very good. Thought they really went out and went for it. But I think held back by the feeling of, oh, these matches don't really matter.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly where I was too. I went 4.25 as well. You know, maybe Suzu should have wrestled Ozaki. That would have been good. But this was pretty good on its own. Just beat the shit out of each other. I thought it dragged a little bit in like the last third, but these two have really good chemistry together, and I would kind of like to see them as a tag team at some point. I think that would be fun.
The semi-main of the show was Starlight Kid defeating Tomika Inaba in 21 minutes and 15 seconds for the Wonder of Stardom title. Another match I thought was solid. I think I was a little bit lower than consensus. I went 4 stars. Again, a match hurt by I did not think Inaba was winning the title.
No.
But I thought a very solid match if it didn't, you know, blow me away like I thought it might have.
Yeah, I liked it a little bit more than you. I went 4.25 on this one, too. Good technical match. And I thought Inaba worked hard here in the big spot. Is she Stardom contracted now, or is she still just tap out?
I don't think there was any announcement, unless I missed it.
I don't recall there being either, so I was curious about that.
Let me see. What does... I mean, Cage Match has her still as just tap out.
Okay, that makes sense.
And her X handle is PWJTO.
Well, there you go.
So, I mean, I guess that doesn't mean... Can you still change your X handle, or is that like...
I couldn't. You probably have to pay like $14 for it or something.
Yeah, so I guess that doesn't really prove anything, but... I mean, I think it's also one of those like Just Tap Out thing where it's not like Just Tap Out is like, please give us our wrestlers back for the million shows we're running.
They're like, just slap a like a logo of ours on the wall somewhere in the venue, and that's fine.
Yeah, but I'm sure it could be, you know, it could change at some point in time.
Yeah. So. Yeah, you have to assume at some point they're going to just sign both of the sisters.
And then the main event was the World of Stardom title match. Saya Kamatani retaining her title against Bea Priestley in 22 minutes and 34 seconds. I didn't hate this one, but I just thought it was sort of an average, like 3.5-star match.
Yeah, I thought they worked hard. They took some kind of wild bumps. Like, Bea actually wrestled well and wasn't boring, so you know what, I enjoyed it for the most part. I went 3.75. I don't think it was great, but I wouldn't say it was anywhere near as bad as her previous like tournament matches.
Then Stardom also had a Corican Hall show on September 10th. Had a couple of title matches on that. Hina defeating Yuri Hime to retain the Future of Stardom title. Koguma actually I believe, winning the CMLL Japan women's title after Dark Saluda got injured in their match after less than 5 minutes. It was very strange. Koguma hit a DDT on the apron, and then there was a long, awkward pause, and it was clear she was injured, and then they called the match. Was a bit odd, but I think it's an shoulder or arm injury of some sort.
Yeah, if you watch back the spot, she immediately goes to her arm after they do the DDT. I think she just landed on it weird.
So not much you can really do about that. I will say this show did have English commentary. It has English commentary on Stardom World, which I did give a listen to, is Walker Stewart, who is sort of new to me as I don't watch New Japan much anymore. So that was interesting. I know they'll also have English commentary on their Cork and Hall show at the end of the month, which should also be on Stardom World. The high-speed title match, Mei Sierra and Yuna Mizumori, went to a time limit draw after 10 minutes. This one was fine. Thought they had some fun spots. Didn't blow me away. I mean, with 10-minute a time limit draw, sort of hard to really get into it, but I thought it was fine. And then the Artist of Stardom title match, the Hate Trio of Fukigen Death, Konami, and Rina, defeating the Neo Genesis champions, former champions of Azumi, Miyu Amasaki, and Starlight Kid in exactly 20 minutes to win the title. I thought this one was fun. Had Fukigen Death pulling out some moves we don't see a lot. Didn't blow away, would probably go probably 3.75, maybe 4 stars. Thought it sort of did that classic Stardom style pickup near the end, which made it fun, but nothing blow away on this Korakuen. An easy watch, but nothing vital to see. In Marigold, the Dream Star Grand Prix has come to an end. After the finals, Kelly, want to talk about the finals of the Dream Star Grand Prix?
Yeah, I can do that. So I only watched the final match. I messaged Taylor last night. I was like, Taylor, the finals are happening right now, and so far there have been 3 draws. The finals ended up being Miku Aono defeating Victoria Yuzuki in a pretty solid match. I think I would go probably 3.5 on it. I liked it well enough. Both women seemed tired going into the match, and that's probably because they both wrestled time limit draws in their final block matches earlier in the show. So yeah, they both went to draws to make it to the finals, which not great, because clearly you can't have Aono beat Mai Sakurai and Yuzuki can't beat Mayu. So they got to go to the finals. What else happened? I think there was also a countout victory on that show too. So just great booking from the Hat Man.
I will say, I think attendance was like over 1,200 people. So
yeah, it was a full house, and really, as far as booking goes, the right person won. Like Aono is definitely the person that should be getting a big win like that. So they didn't fuck it up in that way, but. Hatman gonna Hatman.
Yeah, they certainly need to start making some of these non-Stardom jumpers into stars, because really you take out Utami and Mayu, and have they made anyone else into a... I mean, Victoria is also a Stardom person, technically.
Yeah.
But it's good. Miku, it feels like they've sort of pushed and then unpushed her a couple times, where it was like, oh, we're definitely behind her. And then it's like, well, we need to work on someone else. And she sort of disappears. So hopefully this will be a, you know, frankly, if it were me, if I were booking, Utami would lose the title, because
I think so too.
There's no point. And like, she's going to draw without the title, and you've got to try someone else to do something with this company.
Yeah, you put the, because I think the Iono Utami match is going to be in Sumo Hall. Like, yeah, that's the time. Make the title switch. Hopefully you make a star out of Iono.
Yeah, and we'll see what happens.
Time limit draw.
Please, God. In Tokyo Joshi, not a lot of show news going on, but some big news. Haruna Neko will be retiring. Of course, had that injury, came back, and got injured pretty soon after that. So I think with the injuries piling up, deciding to call it a career. A little bit, you know, not, I would say, any major part of Tokyo Joshi, but still a little bit sad.
Yeah. Like, she was never going to be anything higher than she was. But, like, I don't know. It was fun seeing Haruna Neko. It's she has the Tokyo Joshi undercard wrestler charm.
Yeah, and is really sort of the last, you know, obviously, like, Miyu and Shoko were there, have been, you know, since the beginning. But really feels like that last vestige of, oh, this person is just going to be a mid-carder like character for people to like. You know, you could say, okay, you still have Palm, but Palm is from a different generation, like is a later generation. So Neko feels like the last of the sort of OG Tokyo Joshi characters. And again, like you said, was never gonna, or seemingly was never probably going to rise up the card in the way some other people have, but, you know, a little bit like, oh, okay, that part of the company is now fully, like, in the rear view.
Yeah.
Emochi moment from Mark, who writes, I just want to thank you for making GLP-1s affordable. What would have been over $1,000 a month is just $99 a month with Mochi. Money shouldn't be a barrier to healthy weight. 3 months in, and I have smaller jeans and a bigger wallet. You're the best. Thanks, Mark. I'm Myra Amit, founder of Mochi Health. To find your Mochi moment, visit joinmochi.com.
Mark is a Mochi member compensated for his story.
A Mochi moment from Sadie, who writes, I'm not crying, you're crying. This is what I said during my first appointment with my physician at Mochi. Because I didn't have to convince him I needed a GLP-1. He understood, and I felt supported, not judged. I came for the weight loss and stayed for the empathy. Thanks, Sadie. I'm Myra Amit, founder of Mochi Health. To find your Mochi moment, visit joinmochi.com.
Sadie is a Mochi member compensated for her story.
So, happy trails. And of course, you know, I think staying healthy is important, and it's you know, you'd hate to come back and like get injured again and you're just like, oh god, now I'm like affecting my actual life instead of just my ability to wrestle. So what else has been going on? Diana had a few shows. Haruka Umasaki successfully defending the Diana World title against Kumu and Cyan.
Do you know who either of those people are? Because I don't.
Nope.
Okay.
Kumu does not have a cage match profile. So, and
Cyan is 20 years old from Taiwan.
Ah, of course. And then the world Diana tag team titles, Ayako Sato and Debbie Keitel successfully defending against Miran and Risa Sera. And then on the 14th, Miran winning the crystal title from Mizuki Kato. So that happened there in Wave. On the 7th, Maika Ozaki and Tai Hanma successfully defending their Wave tag team titles against Rina Amakura and Yuko Sakurai. And then, Kelly, we had a big Choco Pro match happen in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, on the 5th, they ran their show Game Changer, which had a Super Asia title match and saw Rina Yamashita defeat Mei Tsuruga to win the title. That's just after Mei passed the year mark as champion. So this was pretty surprising. Like, I kind of thought May was just going to, like, have the belt forever, you know? But Rina came in and won, and I thought this match was awesome. Just a great end to May's run. You saw in the match, she kind of got cocky, and I think that cost her eventually. And Rina, you know, she's just too big and strong for May to take down. So I really enjoyed this. I went 4.25. Taylor, you watched this, right?
I watched it as well. I really liked it. I went 4.5. I really liked the finish, that there was a lot of, they were sort of going for these roll-up style, you know, roll-up pins, sort of reversals, things like that. And that the thing that ended it was Yamashita hitting the big power bomb. Like, it was like they, no one had hit a big move in a bit where they were sort of like, oh, I'll do a pin, try and get leverage, whatever. And then all of a sudden it was like, no, here's a big move. And I was like, oh, that stuck out. And then, of course, was the finish.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's cool. It really makes sense that they were, you know, going on trying to get these flash pins, you know, just sneak out a victory. And then it's like, no, I'm able to hit a big move and that's going to help me win. I just thought it was great, great action. The crowd was really into it. Aki was essentially part of the crowd for part of the, for part of that. Like, there were times on commentary where he just stopped commentating and was just like yelling along with the crowd.
Yeah.
So thought it was really exciting. I think it's very interesting that May lost. I think at this point you're like, okay, she's been champion for a year. You know, it will be good to have her chase, have her do something else, you know. I guess she could keep winning and winning, but then you're just like, okay, we just sort of don't have anything. Like, you just get to the point where it's more like, oh, you just don't really have any plans more than,
yeah,
like, oh, it's so good.
Which even this, though this match really feels like a switch for Choco Pro is kind of happening again, where the booking for a while sucked. Like, it started great initially during the pandemic stuff. And then I think Sakura stepped back and Takanashi stepped up, and he is not a great booker. And now he unfortunately had to step back due to injuries. So I'm assuming that Sakura has kind of stepped back in as booker. And like, I think the booking of this match was perfect. And then after the match, they ran angles. So you had a challenger match set up between two wrestlers to determine a future title challenger, and Antonio Honda stepped up as the next challenger. So it's like, okay, we come out of this show having a plan and a roadmap of like, all right, this is who Rina's going to be facing from here on, which is not something we've had in Choco Pro in quite some time, it feels like. So I'm very excited about the future of Choco Pro at the moment. I thought this was a good show, and I think Yamashita is a great choice to run as champion.
Yeah, and I will say I hadn't watched Choco Pro in a bit, and I, unrelated to anything in ring wise, I mean, I guess it's a little bit related, but I really liked, you know, the camera work. I thought was very good. It was,
yeah,
like a nice camera. They had the logo on the screen. I was like, oh, this is like a nice presentation, you know, and being, you know, not in their usual setting for the bigger show. I was like, oh, this is pretty good.
They do good production on their non dentist office shows, but they usually do take like a week or so to go up because I think they do a good amount of editing and stuff in post.
Yeah.
And it shows. It's a great looking product. So like, if you just follow Choco Pro with the big shows, I think that's probably the best way to watch it at the moment.
Well, that is everything that has happened in the last 2 weeks of Joshi, but what is happening coming up? Stardom has a number of smaller house shows until they have their Korakuen Hall show on September 22nd. The big match for that one, a double title match, Saya Kamatani versus Azumi for both the World of Stardom title and the Strong title. Kelly, do you think this is the end? Do you think this is the death of the Strong title?
Entirely possible. I think, honestly, I think it's equally possible that it just goes to a time limit draw or something.
I just don't know, like, what is the point of, do they run New Japan Strong shows anymore?
That's a good question that I don't know the answer to. I haven't heard about one in quite a while. I know, I think Ishii's the men's strong champion.
It seems like, if anything, you would want to, like, merge the strong title with the IWGP title or something.
Yeah.
Because they feel very similar, but it feels like having it be a double title match, I think there's no world in which Azumi wins.
No.
And I think just doing a time limit draw is like, whoa, okay, well, nothing happened. It feels much less to me. Like, a time limit draw, if this was Rossi booking, I'd be like, it's 1,000% going to be a time limit draw. It feels like this version of Stardom is not the version that's like, we're putting something up and then not delivering, in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it feels like if they're like, hey, there's two titles, like, someone is getting two titles. It just feels more like not in that Rossi world of like, hey, I'm pulling you in with two titles. Oh, it's a time limit draw. It didn't matter. So, and I think if you're, you know, Kamatani getting a big push, you're like, well, what's one way to get a big push beyond winning titles?
Another belt.
Is winning, you know, winning title matches, I should say, is winning another belt. So, Seedling has a show on September 19th. Not too much exciting, personally, on that show for me. One of the big shows of the next 2 weeks, of course, is Tokyo Joshi's Wrestle Princess 6 happening. The card is as follows. Suzume and Ren Konatsu will team to take on Uta Takami and the returning Mei Suruga. So that should be a fun match. The Iron Man heavy metal weight title will be defended in a staggered entry battle royal. Pokotan, the current champion, will face Raku, Palmhair Juku, Mihiro Kiryu, Shino Suzuki, Mifu Ishida, Kira Summer, and Chika Nanase. In that, Aja Kong will take on Himawari. Rika Tatsumi will take on the returning Priscilla Kelly. Hiroyo Matsumoto and Yuki Arai will take on Haru Kazushiro and Toga. Miyu Yamashita and Kaya Toribami will face off against Ryo Mizunami and Yuki Aino. And then three title matches. The International Princess title, currently vacant, will be decided between Arisa Endo and Jada Stone. The Princess Tag Team titles will be the champions Shoko Nakajima and Hyper Masao taking on the Uber Eats team of Yuki Kamifuku and Wakana Uehara. And the Princess of Princess title match will be the champion Mizuki defending against Miyu Watanabe, the winner of the Princess Cup. Kelly, your thoughts on this card?
I'm really excited for this show. I like this card quite a bit. It'll be fun to see Mei and Uta team again. They were a very fun... Or did they wrestle against each other the last time?
I think they wrestled each other last time, yeah.
And it felt like they should be a team instantly, so I'm glad to see them together here. Aja Kong versus Himawari should be fun. Aja Kong typically works way harder than she needs to in matches in Tokyo Joshi, so I'm looking forward to that. I have not seen Priscilla Kelly wrestle in quite some time, so I don't know if she's washed or not, so we'll see how that goes. Awesome to have Mizunami and Yuki Aino teaming again. That's really cool, and I'm pretty sure they're probably going to win that match. Endo is definitely winning the international title. Like, it's very clear that that's what the plan was before Mocha got hurt, so we'll see. I think that match will be very good, but it's one of those where it's very obvious who's winning. Tag title match, I'm not sure. I'm thinking the champs retain, but I could see it going either way. And the main event, I'm really hoping Miyu wins.
Yeah, the last Priscilla Kelly match I saw, I believe, was that that NWA Thunder Rosa match, which
yes.
I think was 5 years ago at this point.
Yes, yes, I think that's the same for me.
Which is hard to believe, so we'll see. Hiroyo Matsumoto, very interesting to me, coming in.
Yeah.
Will she be another, like, Mizunami, where maybe she sticks around and does some things? That would be fun.
That would be cool.
Sort of a new environment for her to be in. Happy to have, you know, I'm not crazy about the Iron Man heavy middleweight battle royals, but I have to say I'm not all that mad that we're not instead getting like an 8-person tag, which was
yeah, I'm fine with it here.
Shows. How did Pocatan get the title?
I have no idea.
Do we have any idea?
I have no clue.
Could you guess? I'm looking it up on Cage Match.
Because
that
TV person was champion.
No,
for
the
a while.
Idol.
Yeah. That's right.
Iron Man heavy metal weight. Oh, Pocatan doesn't have a. Okay. So, oh. It appears that immediately after that Corican Hall show, Pocatan won it somehow.
Okay.
Because it says that Juri Suzui had the title for less than one day after that Corican Hall show.
Okay. So maybe he attacked her on like a TV show or something.
Maybe. Now I'm investigating. I'm sure some DDT fan knows. What if I just type in Pocatan into X? What happens?
I feel like you'll just get a bunch of videos of Pocatan doing stuff.
Nope. No. There's a lot of people talking about things that I think aren't related. Nope. That doesn't give me anything. Iron Man. Pocatan. Wow, this is thrilling.
Yeah, no. As you're looking at it, I'm looking something else up. Oh, yeah, Ram Kaichow got added to this match, too.
Oh, okay.
So Raku will have to fight her wife.
All right, not clear. Not clear what happened, but anyway. I guess that's neither here nor there. Yeah, I think the International Princess title match is interesting. It feels like a match they've now run 4 times this year, even though I know that's not the case. And they were all good. I like them. So I'm like, oh, fine. But it just seems like a very... And good for Jada, who, you know, has done commentary. I'm sure may hop back on commentary. Mm-hmm. On the show, because I know it is Mr. Haku and Aki, but they also promised special guests, so I'm sure Kira Summer will be on, maybe Jada Stone for the main events, maybe Kamifuku for the very main event. See what happens with Mizuki Miyu Watanabe. We'll see if Miyu wins it again. I think the good thing is it will be a great match. And we'll have a good champion no matter who wins.
Yeah, that is nice.
So I'm like, oh, if Mizuki wins, like it'll be like, oh, disappointing for Miyu, but happy to have Mizuki keep the title. Interested to see who dethrones Shoko and Misao. I don't think it'll be Yuki and Wakana. Maybe it will be Mizunami and Aino.
That would be cool.
Again, I think the end story is Daisy Monkey coming back and winning the titles. But and if Endo's going to win the International Princess title, then I don't think you're doing that for a while.
No, at least, yeah, not for a while. So,
but I think
then it would be good to put it on Mizunami and Aino then to kill time.
But I think that's the final part of the story of like Endo can't win the big match and now he or she wins it.
Yeah, because I think she is going to win the big match. Just
so should be a fun show. And we'll be talking about it next time. Another big show, a show simply called Big Show in Sendai.
That's how you know it's a big show.
It's a big show. They're telling you it's a big show for Sendai Girls. Four matches announced for that card so far. FWC, Hazuki, and Koguma will take on Mio Momono and Yurika Oka.
That sounds awesome.
For the Sendai Girls tag titles. That sounds like a very fun match. Rion will face Yuna for the Sendai Girls Junior title. Seri will face Minami. And Mika Iwata will challenge Chihiro Hashimoto for the Sendai Girls World title. I have to say, one of the upsides of the retirement of Yu will be getting more Chihiro singles matches.
Yeah.
Because I feel like we don't get that many. I know that a lot of times she's the champion. But she's so good in singles matches that I want more singles matches. And it feels often like she's main eventing these shows in tags.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll be happy for that. But another really fun show. I'm sure they'll fill it out with another two or three matches. And great that it will be on Wrestle Universe. A good week for Wrestle Universe and Joshi. Two big shows to watch. What else is happening in Wave on the 15th of September? Kohaku will defend the Regina De Wave title against Rina Amakura. And that is everything happening in the world of Joshi in the next 2 weeks. So, Kelly, I throw it to you for Kelly's Corner.
And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to throw it back to you because I need to hear about the movie that my friend Taylor went to go see last night.
So I went to see a movie. The movie started at 9:15 p.m.
That's already so late.
Yeah. Well, and then it didn't start till like 9:30. They were late in starting the movie and it was 5 hours long.
Oh, God.
And they did a Q&A afterwards.
Oh, what the fuck? What movie was this?
They got up before and were like, of course, that classic 2:30 a.m. Q&A that everyone loves.
Oh, my God.
So it's actually a part two of a film called Castration.
Oh.
By a trans filmmaker named Louise Ward. Part one came out last year. It's actually available online to buy, Castration Part One. It's on one of those like name your price sites, and it's payment in Canadian dollars, so for American people you can pay and then also save a little money with the exchange rate.
How long was the first movie?
The first one was 4 hours and 34 minutes.
Jesus Christ.
I would say that they are very... How am I explaining these films? They're very lo-fi. That's number one. They're shot very quickly. They did the Q&A last night, and I think they filmed part two in like 1 week.
Holy shit.
You know, it's like everything is one take and it's very like go, 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 and then they're done. They're films about transgender people. They are often very, I don't even know what word to use to describe. They're scandalous in many ways. I think the second one, I came out and I had a friend ask me what I thought. And I said, the second one is like a combination between, have you ever seen After Hours by Martin Scorsese?
I haven't. I have that in my pile of Blu-rays I need to watch.
I said it was like a combination of Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, After Hours by Martin Scorsese, and The Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Oh, okay.
Very interesting because the first one I watched on my own, very interesting to see in a theater, the second one. So If you're someone who likes long movies and sort of interesting lo-fi art type films, recommend it. And also with the name your own price, I think like the recommended price is $5 Canadian or something. So for 4.5 hours of movie, it's pretty cheap.
Yeah, where else you getting like an hour a movie or an hour a dollar?
An hour a dollar of a film. Or you can pay a little bit more. I did. I paid a little bit more just because, you know, support art. Support art. Donate to redcircle.com/show/jumping-bomb-audio. What I was doing last night. So I just slept in very late today. So that I'd be ready for this wonderful podcast.
I'm already like an old person that I'd like, you tell me seeing a movie at 9 o'clock and I'm like, ah, fuck, I don't want to do that. That's so late. And then it's like, all right, but it's 5 hours. So like, absolutely not.
So that is, I guess, Taylor's Corner for the week.
Yeah.
A little twist. Well, just like you said at the beginning of the episode, Kelly, yep. It all comes around.
It all comes around.
I did Kelly's Corner. I'm Kelly, and I did Kelly's Corner. Well, that is all for us for this episode of Jumping Bomb Audio, but we will talk to you next time. Until then, be well.
Bye, everybody.
Hello, Voices of Wrestling listener, Dave Ryan here. Have you ever wondered to yourself, how many hidden gems are hidden away inside the last years of World Championship Wrestling? Have you ever asked yourself how many tenuous gags can be made about the name Mike Enos? And have you ever thought about what it sounds like for two Irishmen to interpret a very chaotic company through its B-show? The answers to all this and more are just a click away. Check out Days of Thunder every second Thursday on the Voices of Wrestling podcast network.
Hey kids, Jeff Hawkins from Shake Them Ropes here, and for almost 15 years we have been part of Voices of Wrestling. Myself and Chris Novembrino give a review of that week's news, the lazy river of wrestling criticism of that week's WWE and AEW, and then Vader Club, where we watch something from one of our past, or something we may have missed. Smart, snarky, and sometimes serious, but not always. That's us, and if that's your vibe, we'd love to have you listen to Shake Them Ropes every week on the Voices of Wrestling podcasting network.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Emoji moment from Sadie, who writes, I'm not crying, you're crying. This is what I said during my first appointment with my physician at Mochi, because I didn't have to convince him I needed a GLP-1. He understood, and I felt supported, not judged. I came for the weight loss and stayed for the empathy. Thanks, Sadie. I'm Myra Amit, founder of Mochi Health. To find your Mochi moment, visit joinmochi.com.
Sadie is a Mochi member compensated for her story.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.